Hi, this is Ken McCarthy with Jazz on the Tube, and today we're going to be talking with a musician who is in Puerto Rico. He's the leader of a group called Señor Langosta, which for people that don't know Spanish means Mr. Lobster. Welcome, Jorge.
Hola, saludos. Hi.
Hey. Now, in Spanish countries, people have long names, so which part of your name is the name you use for show business? Because your name is Jorge Andres Ferraras Pujol?
Yeah, that's my full name. I mean, I have nicknames, but the serious name will be like Jorge Andres Ferreras, pretty much.
Okay, great. So Jorge Andres Ferreras. And Jorge, you're a guitar player, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about your band, and then I'd like to talk about the music scene in Puerto Rico before the hurricane, and then how things are now. And we're having this conversation on February 22nd, so it's basically 5 months since the hurricane. So let's talk a little bit about Señor Langosta. How would you describe your music? I know people don't like to put a label on their music, but how would you describe it?
Well, I describe it to person like we pretty much take the idea of what is jazz about, the improvisation and kind of like the idiomatic things and how to improvise over some type of chords, whatever. But the rhythm, we like to think of more like towards funkiness and Caribbean influence rhythms, but also with some electronics, especially delays, reverbs. We like, not like acoustic, it's not like acoustic band, it's more like electric band pretty much. So you describe it like a mix of Jimi Hendrix with Thelonious Monk, Charles Mingus, but Weather Report too. So pretty much that's the sound we like to have, but with a Caribbean really sense of what we are. That's the influence, but we like not to be like very jazz, like we are from here, you know. And I like, for example, like Charles Mingus too, like that. Also, like his music is really, for me, kind of like a punk attitude, all that when he plays all those crazy, all the horns are like soloing at the same time. That's kind of like very concrete music, almost like electronic music, I don't know. So I really love really like African influence music, let's put it that way. I don't know. Even though I love, for example, European music, what is called like classical, well, I really like it too, but really, I really love the African influence music. And I imagine it's because I'm from the Caribbean. I travel all my life between here, Puerto Rico, and Dominican Republic because my family is from there also. So I always been between these two islands. I always have the drum, percussion, the dance, always there. Even though mm-hmm. I play like an electric guitar, that is.
Gotcha. In playing improvisational music like you do, there's a discipline, obviously, where you have to learn, you know, different modes and different chord progressions and how to play the changes. And how did you learn all that stuff in Puerto Rico? Was there, you know, now there's a lot of jazz schools. Did you go through a program? Were you self-taught?
When I was younger, I really studied with people. I started drums, and then I moved to the guitar. I have t-shirts, like private, not really. Then I entered the conservatory, and when I was going to high school, I decided I went to the conservatory as a college, and I studied there pretty much, and I got like a degree on jazz and Caribbean music on performance on guitar, and that's really where I learned like most of the theory that I know. Yeah, basically that was it. Before that, I studied with some teachers, but I feel there is where I really got all the knowledge and the practice, because pretty much all the teachers there, they study in Berkeley or Europe, in different places. So here there are really good teachers. I feel like you really learn a lot. When I go out and play in other places, what I learned here, it was really, really useful. It can get better with program and all that, because there's always room for improvement. but in the sense of, I mean, Puerto Rico has the best musicians and the one of the best. Every place has good musicians, but here I feel because of the history, we're in the Caribbean, always has been like a place people come and go. We've been with the European, we have that history with Spain and all that. Also we have with United States, and we are a place that is very mixed, very a mixing pot. So I feel music here, it comes naturally. We can, you can have really good classical musician here and a very good playing congas, like salsa. Really, you can get here good musicians from any style, really, pretty much. So
it's a very interesting thing because Puerto Rico, you know, it's a small place. It's the population's less than 3.5 million. But if you look at the number of great musicians who've come out of Puerto Rico over the decades, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. And also a lot that's the people that live in Puerto Rico. But imagine there's the double of that, or 10 millions of Puerto Ricans living outside of Puerto Rico. Who pretty much, for example, what is called South and all that, that's, they call it Puerto Rican, but it's really from New York, that it was born from the mixing of different Latin cultures from Colombia, Cuba, all that was in New York. And that all also with the African music, like jazz influence, like the jazz chords, whatever you want to call it, influence that sound. But all that was really pretty much there. It was born, but it comes from this culture that is here. So there's a lot of more people that, you know, more than here in the island, you know, that they're outside.
Well, if you look at who really carried the banner for salsa in New York City, there are people from all kinds of backgrounds, but clearly it was the Puerto Rican musicians that led the way. They led the way. They started it. They kept it going. They grew it.
And there's a reason because of that, because Puerto Rican has, from all the Latin American countries, has the, how you put that, like the advantage that we have the American citizenship. So when we want to just go because things are bad here, we just take a plane. It's different from when you are from Cuba or the Dominican Republic that you want to come here. But, yeah, you have to take an exam to take the residency or prove that you have to go through all these steps that we don't have to. But all that comes with a price because that came in 1917 with a law that we were American citizens, but that was because the First World War was happening and they wanted soldiers, so they put us as a citizen just to go fight the wars and all that. So there's an advantage, but it comes with a price.
Let's talk about conditions now. I had a lot of experience personally in New Orleans after the flooding there, and you know, nothing worked. The traffic lights didn't work. The libraries were closed, schools were closed. I mean, it just everything was a mess, and it went on for a long time. I know that there's a lot of trouble getting the electricity back, especially in the rural parts of the country. How is it in San Juan? Is the electricity finally more or less back in San Juan?
Well, I think in San Juan and all that, I think from 2 weeks now, I think pretty much everything has electricity, because I remember a month ago I had friends that live here in the city and they still didn't have electricity. But I feel like that is already, I have electricity since, I think, the very end of November. So, but other people, like if you live near a hospital, some people got electricity pretty much mid-October, so they were lucky. But people outside the city, like really in the rural areas, there's still no electricity or not even like water. Like I think that's more, a lot of more people have water than electricity, but some places still have a lot of way to go. Like especially because there are people that live really in the mountains deep, you know what I mean? Like they are really there. really into it, so I don't know, but that I think everyone's gonna have electricity pretty much by summer. Mm-hmm. That's when the country, the whole, is gonna have electricity.
And tell me about the scene now in San Juan for musicians. I imagine most of the venues are still closed. Are there? In one of the things that happened in New Orleans was that music sort of it played a role in helping restore the city, because as soon as there was any electricity back, even before electricity, musicians were performing, maybe not for money, and maybe not in a formal way, but there people were trying to get music going again. What's happening in San Juan now musically?
Well, because there's electricity, you'll be surprised. There's a lot of things happening right now. There's shows every day from Sunday to Sunday, man. There's a lot of things happening, and it's because there's electricity. And I feel right now we are kind of in a bubble because there's a lot of help coming. The help that you, like the one that you gave us, all that, because there's money flowing and all that. But I feel that it's a bubble on summer, and after that is what I want to see how it's going to be. Because right now there's a show every day, and they are paying. I've been lucky. I've been getting gigs every week, and they've been paying. So, but it's what I'm telling you. There's like I feel. That's my opinion. I don't know if it's true. But like I told you, every year is the same. Pretty much on summer, things start to slow down a little bit in general. So, and now there's a lot of work, but now because the electricity is back, what people really want. And there was a time, like, even if there wasn't electricity, there was plants and bars and all that, and people went, and they still have, like, music and all that, but by 11 p.m., the bar was closing. So now it's like normal, you know, like they close late, all that. But I'm telling you, that's pretty much mid-December is where all these things started happening, this normality. Now you feel more normal, but there was like a weird normality going on December, January, those months, especially on Christmas and all that. But now it's pretty much normal, and there's a lot of music going on, so that's cool right now.
And your question is, will it last? Will this activity keep going? It's interesting you mentioned the summer, because the summer's it's dead in New Orleans too, because the tourists stop coming in the summer because it's so hot and business really
here it gets really hot, really hot.
Yeah. What are the venues if someone were to come down to San Juan and wanted to see what was going on for themselves? What would you recommend that people do? Like, is there specific clubs where there's good stuff happening?
Yeah. For example, there's a bar near the big college here. It's called El Boricua, and they have for example, on Tuesdays they have jazz. That's every group of jazz here, like soul jazz, fusion, you know, any type of jazz you want it. That's one of the venues. And the other days of the week they have, for example, Wednesday they have salsa. On Fridays they have plena, that is a folkloric music. That's a venue that every day has kind of like a different vibe. And there's another one called, for example, El Local, that it's they play like punk shows, but also there's maybe a day that there's like a jazz band there. That's a more like a rock and roll venue. And there's another one called La Respuesta that is a little bit bigger, and it's with they have like a bigger venue.
And I imagine that students are a really important market for music.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of there's places like jam sessions that are for students pretty much. That they go there to practice, you know, the tunes that they're learning.
Oh, what's that? I'm sorry. Is that they go to practice where?
Like there's a jam, I think, near the conservatory that they make this jam. It's like a cafe or something like that, and but the people that jam there are students, and they go to jam, you know, all the things you are or tunes like that that are for practice. What they are learning, well, they on a jam session, well, they try to
to play the tune.
What's the name of the conservatory?
Conservatorio de Puerto Rico. The new Conservatory of Puerto Rico, pretty much.
And is that the big main music school on the island?
Well, there's another college called Interamericana that's a private one. They also teach, they call it more like popular music, but it's, you know, they teach jazz, also rock. The conservatory has like a jazz program and a classical program. The difference is like the conservatory is from the state, I mean, from Puerto Rico. It's a government, it's not private. And you have to go through audition. It's more kind of like a classical mind oriented. The private one is kind of like you pay and you enter and you start learning.
So the standards at the state university, the state conservatory, are very high, the standards to get in.
Yeah, it's kind of difficult to get in.
Jorge, this has given us a really good picture of what the scene is like in Puerto Rico and in San Juan in particular. I want to encourage people that haven't been to Latin American countries. It's cool. The musical attitude, I think, is broader, it's bigger, it's more open. And of course, Puerto Rico needs our help now. So for people that are thinking about, hey, they want to go someplace interesting, I would definitely recommend to consider going to San Juan and checking out the scene, because what's happened obviously is tragic and caused a lot of disruption for, you know, terrible disruption for many, many people. But on the other hand, there's also a lot of creative energy that gets released. I know in the years right after the floods in New Orleans, it was an interesting time to visit. There were a lot of cool things going on, and
it's very interesting.
And it's not going to be well documented, and it's not going to be, you know, no one's going to be able to lay out exactly go here, go there. But Jorge's given you some ideas of places, reliable places where you're going to hear good music, and then once you're there, you'll discover other things that are going on, the jam session near the conservatory. So as somebody, I used to go, Jorge, to New Orleans every winter for like 2 or 3 months, and I would get a place and just stay and just enjoy the music scene there and help out a little bit. And it was a very rewarding and rich time to be there. So for people that are looking for an adventure or looking for a way to be helpful, being a visitor, being a sensitive visitor, you know, an intelligent visitor, is a really good thing to do. In other words, do not stay away. You know, don't say, oh, I'm not going to go to San Juan, I'm not going to go to Puerto Rico because, you know, of the problems. Don't do that, because actually it would help you. It would help a lot if people do come.
Opposite. Yeah, please come. There's good food, there's good music. The nature, honestly, the nature here is magical. So if you like forest and all that, you have that good music. And if you don't have a passport, that's no problem, because you can come here like with a passport. So, yeah.
That's true. And I guess, do you have to go through customs?
No, it's a national flight from New York to California.
Great. So you don't even have to go through that thing and fill out those forms. And wow, that's interesting. That's interesting. And because it's a small thing, but it's helpful. It's the U.S. dollar is the currency in Puerto Rico, obviously.
It's the same. Everything. And also, pretty much everyone talks English. People talk Spanish here, but if you talk to them, if you don't know Spanish or a little bit, that's not an obstacle, because people here know English. Pretty much, I don't know everyone, but in a general way, everyone can help you. They can understand.
That's great. That's a big difference over other places.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing that I didn't ask you, but you mentioned your own personal love of the African influence in music. Is there folkloric stuff and traditionally Puerto Rican music like bomba and plena going on that people can check out?
Yeah, there's always, every week, there's a place that at least have or bomba, plena, or, because Puerto Rico really have a bunch of folkloric styles that's more like African influence styles, but there's other, like, more, there's the national instrument that is called cuatro, that is like a guitar, it's a string instrument, a pluck instrument, but there's music for that. Like, there's a bunch of styles here, And every week, really, people are, there's a jam of that, like, you can get into that. Like, there's also, I have a friend that she have a web page that she posts everything that is going on. If you want to know every musical thing that is happening, she posts it there. She posting everything that is going on here, like, in terms of cultural, not only musical, also theater, just theater happening here. You know, there's also dance, ballet, stuff like that, not only music stuff. Anything that is cultural related, she posted there. Classical
music.
Oh,
that's great.
There's going to be also coming the, I don't know if you have heard about the Casals Festival. Casals Festival is like the classical music festival here. And it's going to start, I think now in March, it's going to happen. Because Casals, that's an important figure here, that was a Spanish cello. He's the most important cello player of the 20th century. He came during his life, when he was exiled from Spain because of Franco and of the Spanish War in 1939, because he was a rebel against that, against the war. He had to flee from Spain, and he got married, I think, to a Puerto Rican, and he came here. And he was one of the responsibles for the Conservatory of Puerto Rico. He didn't start it, but when the idea started happening, he was already here. So he brought a lot of European teachers to teach, and that's why I'm telling you, like, there's a lot of good tradition of classical music here, good musicians, because people like him came here to live. And I'm talking like 1950s, mm-hmm. 1940s, 1950s, that time. So, yeah, like, there's classical festivals here, too, so there's everything. And that is going to happen, because I have friends that work in there, and it's going to happen. So things are starting again to roll, at least in the city. Things are pretty much normal. And around the island, they're getting normal. There's still pockets that really need help, that they really need it. And, mm-hmm. but still are, again, in that sense of cultural activity, getting normal.
Well, that's just the nature of things. It's going to start in the capital first. And then when the capital gets stabilized, then that becomes a base.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That raises another point, which is that there's a lot of culture in Puerto Rico. It's not just music. There is theater. It's very strong. In fact, one of the groups that we recommend if people want to help the situation in Puerto Rico, there's a group in New York City, and I'm looking up their name right now as we talk. I believe it's called the Puerto Rican Traveling Theater. And this is an old group in New York City. They've been around for decades. And they put on amazing programs in the United States. And they have excellent connections to Puerto Rico because, as you mentioned, people go back and forth. A lot of Puerto Rican artists will spend some time in New York. And then they'll go back to Puerto Rico. Yeah, it's called Pregones, Pregones.
Yeah, I think I've heard them. Yeah, I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, and then they're working closely with PRIMA, which is the Puerto Rican Independent Musicians and Artists Relief Fund.
Yeah, I've heard of that too.
Yeah, so that's a good group. They have roots in Puerto Rico. They know their way around. I think one of the problems that some groups are having is they just don't have connections in Puerto Rico. And it's not like they can get in a car and drive there. It's involved.
That's a good contact, the people from PRIMA. And also, I was going to tell, I forgot, there's an area here where the venues that I told you, some of them are there, like El Local, La Respuesta, Coel, Santurce. That's like a neighborhood that always been famous because it's kind of like the art neighborhood. People are being born there. They became really famous artists. But the thing is that they're doing this thing that Hispanic Federation, they gave these funds to places, venues from there, like La Respuesta, all that. They gave money to make activities like musical concerts or art exposure. So again, the thing start running. So I forgot to tell you that. Hispanic Federation that I think is in New York gave some funds to these places to generate. That money is to pay the artists so they do stuff. So this neighborhood that has all these venues and all these cafes and all these cultural activities start again to move.
What neighborhood?
Santurce. Santurce is the neighborhood.
Could you say it one more time?
Santurce. S-A-N-T-U-R-C-E.
Santurce.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you mentioned the Hispanic Federation, because that's our second recommendation. Our top recommendation is the Prima Fund, which is being operated by Pregones and Puerto Rican Traveling Theater. So they're all working together. And then our second recommendation has always been the Hispanic Federation. This is a very well organized group. They've been around since 1990. They were the first to bring in substantial amounts of aid, among the first. They're very focused on Puerto Rico. They're in it for the long haul. And they have an excellent rating, by the way, for fiscal responsibility. Out of a score of 100, they got 95.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, out of a score of 100,
wow.
They got 95.47, which is very high.
That's really high.
Yeah, I've seen some groups with 20. So it can go really low. And so nobody has 100 that I know of. So when you're up in the 95s, you're doing a very good job.
I travel a bunch of places in Latin America and the United States and all that, but really here, I get amazed. Like, for example, in a jam session, I've been in jam session, for example, in New York, and you play swing, and all the jam session is swing. But here, like, one jam is swing. The next people that comes to play, they want to play a jazz tune, but instead of swing, let's put it like a plena groove or a funk groove. Here, there's so much things happening, and musicians are so influenced by everything. And this girl, that she's not, I think she plays drums or whatever, but she's really like amazed of how all these things that are happening. And I don't understand how it's the government or something making this, capitalizing on this, like on there's of tourism and all that. Man, people would pay to come here. Like people pay to go to New York because New York is a very cultural city. And
right.
They're going to see these musicians or this art exhibition or this museum. We have that here. But, I mean, the approach of the government and the people that can make a difference, well, they really don't think like that. But here's in terms of cultural activity, I feel that's really our thing that we can export more than anything else,
mm-hmm.
our culture. Anywhere you go, people know someone of salsa, like Hector Lavoe or reggaeton or something like that. People know something. They have heard some Puerto Rican music. So
that's our value. Yeah, I'm going through this Facebook page, and it's amazing. I'm literally amazed at the volume and the variety of things that are going on. Everyone, you can check it out and see it for yourself. Thank you so much for spending this time to explain to us a little bit about cultural scene in Puerto Rico before and after the storm. And I think the message is, if you're looking for an adventure and you want to be someplace that has a lot of energy, where a lot of interesting things are happening culturally, not just music, but other things too.
Yeah.
Puerto Rico and San Juan would definitely be a place to check out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, unfortunately, it appears that it's more difficult now for U.S. citizens to go to Cuba. So if people concerned about, oh, maybe I can't go to Cuba, but they want to go to someplace in the Caribbean that has a lot of music and a really interesting scene, definitely put Puerto Rico on your list. So Jorge, thanks again. And we've been talking with Jorge Andres Ferreras, and the name of his group is Señor Lagosta, which is Mr. Lobster. And check them out. You just Google them and you'll find their music in different places. It is a good cross between Jimi Hendrix and Thelonious Monk. It's really interesting stuff. I very much enjoyed listening to it. And I encourage people to look into this band. It's a good band and they're doing great stuff. Okay, Jorge, well, thank you again so much. And keep us posted on what's going on. And I'm glad we were able to help a little bit. And hopefully this call will help some more.
Yeah, thank you. We are here and there's a lot of things happening here. So I encourage you to come, and thank you for everything and this interview. So we keep you posted.
Okay. Good luck with everything.
Cool. Okay. Bye.